All right. You know, there's some excitement in the room. I'm really excited this morning, not only because of the testimony. I mean, the testimonies have just, that's just, we're going to hear some great testimonies this morning after the service, or after this, after I give you the word. And I'm just, I know there's something, there's a real sense of, that's why I'm all over the shop at the moment. I'm just really pumped. Anyway, we're finishing the series that we started a few weeks ago called The Passion. And throughout the series, we learned that loving others is a tough business. Everyone agree? Loving others can be a tough business. And so often our love is tied to how we feel or how our wants or needs are being met. And when our feelings change or our wants and needs are no longer met, our love changes as well. And this is called conditional love. And thankfully, this isn't the kind of love that God has in his creation. It is man's love is conditional love. See, God loves even when it's unreciprocated. God loves you when you're nasty or you're rude or even mean. God's love is evident in the sacrifice he made by sending his only son, Jesus Christ, so that through him, all who believe may have eternal life. But Jesus had to come willingly. And he humbled himself and became obedient to the will of the Father. Now this obedience led Jesus to his eventual death on a cross. And today, Easter Sunday, we celebrate that the death of Jesus wasn't the end of the story. And I'm here to let you know that not even the grave could hold him down. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, please turn to me with Luke chapter 24. But first, a little background. All of the four gospel accounts in the Bible include the story of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. So today I want to read you from the words that were spoken just after he had been resurrected. And some of the women had followed Jesus when he was alive, and that they went to the tomb on that first Easter morning. Now, they did not find his body. Instead, there were two men in dazzling robes that appeared to them, and they said these profound words. In Luke chapter 24, verse 6 and 7, they said, "He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners to be crucified and on the third day be raised again." This is good news, amen. Not even the grave or death itself could stop Jesus. In fact, nothing could stop Jesus Christ. Let's look at this. Let's look at his unstoppable love. Now think back to all the things that tried to stop him. The devil, he tried to stop him. The religious leaders who turned him tried him, they tried to stop him. The soldiers who crucified him tried to stop him. The crowds tried to stop him, spitting on him, yelling abuses at him. Even the nails in the hands and the feet on the cross tried to stop him, but they could not stop him. No one, nothing could stop him. Because upon his resurrection, Jesus has overcome death itself. He is victorious. In the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Chances are that there's something in your life right now that if you allow it to, it will attempt to stop you from following Jesus Christ. Maybe it's something that has, and for some time now, acted as a distraction for following Jesus Christ. Maybe it's some repetitive sin, or what the Bible says, the little foxes that have come to spoil the vine. That is sin coming to destroy your life. Either way, distractions are normal for all of us. The world is full of them. But just like we talked about last week, we must keep our eyes focused on the cross. And I've got to say thank you to the person that did the flower arrangement this morning. It is beautiful, isn't it? And although numerous things that may have acted as temporary setbacks, the truth is that nothing can negate God's love for us. In Romans 8, 38, 39, it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, or anything else in all creation," that's everything, yeah, "will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from God's love. What a passage. Paul says that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from God's love for us. This should allow us to live a free life, free indeed. Not having to worry about stress or how we will pay the high price of our sin to once again be reconciled by God. Instead, he has already paid that price for us. So now what? I know one of you must be thinking, so well, that's great, but now what? Well, we die to sin. First, I believe we must take after Christ's model and die to sin. We must repent and push our sin as far as from our lives as from the east as to the west. That's north and south. But the trouble is that some of you here today are wondering this very thing. What does dying to sin actually look like? Who's got mobile phones on them today? Great. If they ring, it's $50 to missions. Okay, I'm just sort of letting you know that. If you're visiting here today, that's our rule of thumb. If the phone goes off, $50 to mission. So who's got their phone here? I'm just going to ring them now. No. Oh, I've got to do something. Imagine this mobile phone is sin. Okay? Just imagine this is sin. All right? It only has power when it's charged. Thank you. Who's ringing me? Tobin Hopper. He's going to have an extended holiday. Very good. $50. Yeah. Didn't ring though. Anyway, it only has power when it's charged. But also, it has greater power over me when I give attention to it. Oh, Tobin's ring. However, when it dies, I can't go on sinning. Therefore, it doesn't have any power over me, whether literal or figurative. See, in a similar way, we're called to die to our sin. He's ringing again. And there may still be moments in your life when you give in to that temptation. But even if that were to happen, that is when we ask forgiveness from God. Ultimately, we're no longer living to gratify the desires of our flesh. We are new creations in Christ, learning to conform to his good and perfect will for our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here." Just like the baptisms that we're going to see later on. The old life is gone and the new life is here. In Romans 12, 1-2, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true, and this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world." Okay? "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Remember, I said last week, if you can't change your mind, you can't change anything. So when you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Just last week, I had a good friend of mine ring me up. He's not a man of faith or anything like that, but he knows I am. He rings me up and he was telling me about this major problem that he had with another person, and he was getting very angry and he had to sort it out. And I said to him, I said, oh, mate, I was pretty busy. I said, mate, just go in the opposite spirit. And then I hung up. Anyway, he toiled over that. He even asked some of his friends, what do you think going in the opposite spirit means? Anyway, yesterday I had an opportunity to have lunch with him. And he said to me, he says, Kerry, this week you said go in the opposite spirit. I've been waking up in the middle of the night, toiling over my head. What do you mean by going in the opposite spirit? So I had to talk to him about our flesh, our desires, our fleshly desires, and the spirit. That's where I said, look, as a Christian, I have the Holy Spirit, and I'm guided by the Holy Spirit. And when I say go, when it says go in the opposite spirit, it means if you're angry, stop and show love, because we are people of love and peace. And sometimes that can be really hard, especially with those of you that have got anger problems. But they are easily wiped out when you go in the opposite spirit. You can train yourself. I'm getting angry. No, go in the opposite spirit. Remember, you got the little devil here and the little angel here. That fight, well, that's the Holy Spirit and your flesh. And your Holy Spirit will always give you a way out. Anyway, spoke to him yesterday at lunchtime. I got a message from him this morning saying, thank you so much for your wisdom. Problem solved. I went in the opposite spirit. And the relationship is restored. I then replied and said, all praise to God. Give him the glory. And he wrote back, yeah. All right, yeah. But it's true. It's His glory. It's His wisdom, not mine. Now, Romans 8, 12 to 15 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live accordingly to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received have brought you about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. We are free. See, maybe this Easter is the first time you resist the urge to sin against God in a certain way. Even if the temptation is extremely strong and constantly present, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit living within you will always provide a way out. How many times do we not listen to the Holy Spirit and then find ourselves in trouble? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. How awesome is that? So if dying to our sin and trusting the work of the Holy Spirit is step one, well then what is step two? We already know that Christ did not stay dead in the grave, and the grave was unable to hold Him. So what does it mean for us that He is alive today? Well, we're to live for Christ. And the challenge for us today as believers and followers of Christ, thank you, Ta. is to learn how to live. Thanks. I'm going to kick that. No, I'm not. I rebuke that. That's all right, Kyla. Sit down. The challenge for us as believers and followers of Christ is to learn how to live for Him each and every day. And the Gospel of Luke, we're reminded, if anyone would come after me, that is Jesus, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me, Jesus. Now, this may seem a very simple statement, but it doesn't involve just words. Living for Christ takes a very real action, as indicated by this passage from Luke and others in the New Testament. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You know, if Nike had this as their slogan, it would probably sell more shoes. That's what it more or less says. It says, just do it. Just do it. If you're writing notes, write this one down. Trust and obey and get out of the way. Trust and obey and get out of the way. I thought that was the bottle then. Now, the Bible is meant to act as our guide concerning how we live for Christ. It tells us the sins to watch out for. It's all in here. It lets us know the type of fruit that we should be born out of our lives. It tells us what kind of community that we should seek out and people that we should hang out with. There is great and powerful instruction all throughout the Bible. But the scriptures aren't just meant to stop at divine instruction. They are meant to inspire us onto abundant and faithful living. John chapter 10 verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it to the full. God's desire is that we experience abundant life now through the powerful sacrifice and unstoppable and perfect love of His Son Jesus Christ. In stark contrast to this stands the devil, who seeks to kill and steal and destroy our lives. If God gives the most gracious gifts, then the enemy of our souls is the most heinous and scourge and thief who has ever existed. And the experience of this, death to life, is one I can personally attest to. And over looking out in here, I know that there's a lot of people here can also attest to. Our testimony is a powerful witness to the goodness of God and the effects of the gospel for real life change. In my life, I've witnessed what Jesus Christ can do with someone that is very, very far away from Him. I wanted to do things my way. Who's ever wanted to do that? Right. I wanted to call the shots in my life. And I wanted nothing to get in my way. But here's the good news. Even in the midst of all things I tried to put in God's way, He still found me and loved me. His love is unstoppable. His love is unconquerable and is unyielding. God's love can transform a messed up life and give life abundant back and give a lot of joy and a lot of hope and a lot of peace. My encouragement to each and every one of you, if you're living a life without Christ, please consider giving your life to Christ and following His ways, because His ways are a lot better than our ways. Amen. Amen. And my story isn't just that one. There's many. There's dozens, if not hundreds of stories in this room of the goodness of our God. Easter Sunday is such a special time for us to celebrate our collective freedom. It's a day to remember our individual testimonies, a day to celebrate and commemorate all that God has brought us through as individuals and as a community. And I encourage each of you today after the service, while you're feeding yourself with chocolate eggs and hot cross buns and coffee and everything else, is to share, ask, hey, how did you become a Christian? Share your testimony with someone. Please do that, because you're giving glory to God. To remember what God has done and give Him all the glory. As we've learned throughout the series, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross was fueled first and foremost by unconditional love, agape love. Christ was humble. Christ, he was obedient. And His love for us was perfected over 2,000 years ago when He died on the cross, only to be raised to life again 3 days later. As believers, the empty tomb is where we find the fullness of life. But for some in this room today, there is simply nothing more than an empty life. Your experience of life is a monotonous one of repetitive actions devoid of hope and joy. But the good news, actually the greatest news, is that the experience I have just described doesn't have to continue anymore. The unconditional love I've described here today that you can have, and you can have it for free. I guarantee it will bring you joy, it will bring you hope, and it will bring you peace in your life. The abundance and fullness of Jesus Christ is available to anyone in this room right now who believes. And if that resounds with you today, I want to take a moment to pray a salvation prayer here today. There is nothing better than welcoming new believers into the kingdom, and especially on Easter of all times. And listen, you may have backslidden. You may have been coming to church. You may have given your life to Jesus when you're a little child or something like that. And you've been coming to church. And I'll tell you a story. I've got a pastor friend who took over a church about 8 years ago, and he was in the church, and it was an older congregation, and there was probably about 50 people, and he was the new minister, and he went in there every week, and he kept on ringing me up saying, "Oh, it's just something's dead in this church." And then one morning he decided, these guys have been members of the church for like 20, 30 years, and he actually got up and he says, "Has anyone here ever given their life to the Lord?" Every single one of them said, "No, we've never been taught that." They've been coming to church and hearing about Jesus, but they'd never, ever given their lives to the Lord. So there was a massive celebration, and they all got baptized. There's people in the church that come to church. And if that's you, that you come to church, and, you know, I've had one friend that comes, he came here and he goes, "Wow, everyone's faces are so clear and so vibrant." This guy used to hang out in the pubs and all that. But it's true. There's something vibrant and something fresh in your faces. And it's awesome. It's Christ in you. It's you shining. Now, you don't need to spend, ladies, you do not need to spend thousands and hundreds of dollars on makeup that makes your face shine. And all the men said, amen. As we close our time today and wrap up this series, let's commit to looking and sounding and acting a bit more like Jesus Christ. Consider His humility and obedience, and pray about the areas in your life where you need to be more of the same. And if we're honest, we do, I do, I need to be more of the same of Christ every day. Get connected with a group here at the church, or start a new group, or commit to serve in a small or a large way. Take intentional steps towards an active life of faith. Just as Christ walked out of the grave, remember today that he has called you to move from death to life. You know, sometimes Christians walk around as though they're still in the death mode. We're not there anymore. We've been given life and abundance of it. Let us live and thrive together in the abundance of life promised by Jesus Christ. You know, the sinner's prayer is a prayer that is said that when someone seeks to repent of their sin and ask God for forgiveness and state their belief in life, death and saving resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the sinner's prayer is sometimes also known as the salvation prayer or the consecration prayer. In Scripture, there is reference to a process of repentance, faith, and salvation. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Now, these verses are part of the Romans Road to Salvation Bible story that gives us a blueprint of salvation through repenting our sin and affirming our faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 10:13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Millions, if not billions, have established a saving relationship with Jesus Christ through the church services and through friends and family guiding them into a salvation prayer. No doubt, we've got four people getting baptized today. They have been discipled over the months, years, and they have been discipled. They've been loved upon by people around them to get them to this very day today where they're giving their lives and publicly declaring their lives that they are following Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. However, it is not solely the words in a prayer that save us eternally. And I want to emphasize this. So many people will say after the pastor, just say after me this prayer. And they go, oh, boom, I'm saved because I've spoken the words. Be very careful. It's not solely the words in the prayer that save us eternally. All right? We are justified by faith in Jesus and saved by a genuine belief in him. It's not the prayer that saves. It's the repentance and faith behind the prayer that lays hold to our salvation. My concern is that overemphasizing the prayer has often, and though unintentionally, obscured the primary instruments of laying hold of salvation and repentance and faith. Now I'm going to pray a simple prayer right now. And those who are believers, you can pray along with me. Those who want to give Christ a crack, if you're game enough, if you believe the history books that he came, that he died, and 3 days later he rose again. There's no one historian that can say that this did not happen. It's a fact that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. He is the I Am. He is the Son of God. He is God incarnate. He came, represented himself as a human, lived a life, a blameless life, a sinless life to show that it can be done. He then went to the cross for all our sins, mankind's sins. He was crucified a horrible death for you and I. Everyone scattered. Everyone's hopes and dreams were shattered. But on the third day, everyone's hopes and dreams were reignited because he said what he said he was going to do. He did what he said he was going to do. And that is that he rose again. So that who believes in him? May have eternal life. And if you're here this morning, I want to give you that opportunity on Easter Sunday to declare your faith to Jesus Christ, to start living a life for Jesus that will give you freedom, that will give you joy, and will give you peace beyond your knowledge. Trust me, you won't turn back. Let's bow our heads. Close your eyes. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner and I've done many things that don't please you. I've lived my life for myself only. I'm sorry and I repent and I ask you to forgive me. I believe that you died on the cross for me to save me. You did what I could not do for myself. I come to you now and ask you to take control of my life. I give it to you. From this day forward, help me to live every day for you and in a way that pleases you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you did for me and for all of us on the cross. Lord, for those of us who have backslidden and got sucked into the ways of the world, the desires of our flesh, Lord, we repent and we ask for your forgiveness. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that in your word you says that, yes, we come to you and repent and you will forgive us and you'll blotch out all those things. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we love you, Lord. And I thank you that I will spend all of eternity with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time along with me this morning, I'm now going to give you an opportunity to get wet. Now, if you prayed that for the first time, I mean, you can. If you prayed that for the first time or you've never been baptized and you really feel God saying, hey, you need to get in that baptismal font and get baptized today, you're more than welcome to. I remember one year we did this and someone came running forward in their jeans. Yeah, I can see you. Came running forward in their jeans, only the clothes she had on her, and bang, she just, I want to get baptized. I remember that. But if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, I'd love to speak to you after the service while we have hot cross buns and chocolate and everything. But if you're visiting here today with a friend, tell them that you've just prayed that prayer. There's no judgment. You know, we're about to. Can I have the worship team up, please? We're just going to sing a song. I'm going to do a Superman thing and get dressed and then whiz over into the baptismal font. This is my favourite day. I love baptisms. Is there anyone that wants to get baptised today? All right. So those people that are going to get baptised, you can go and get changed, and that'd be great. Get ready. I'm still shaking on the inside. I don't know why. I'm just really excited. Did anyone pray that prayer for the first time this morning? Anyone? So you're all believers, hopefully. You know, you've come here this morning on one of the greatest Sundays in the church calendar event. Bless you. Bless you. Praise God. You've made my day. You made God's day. There will be no turning back. You've just stepped into a family that is worldwide, a family of believers. You'll never walk alone, ever. Bless you. For those who are contemplating Christ, contemplating becoming a Christian, it's okay. Keep coming here every Sunday, and bit by bit by bit by bit. You know, it took me 2 years of going to church before I gave my life to the Lord. I'm a slow learner. But once I learned, man, nothing stopped me. Amen. Right. Let's stand. Let's sing.